Amen. We're turning to God's word to Job in the Old Testament. Just there before the book of Psalms, the book of Job in the chapter number 16. A short reading as we bring our meeting to a close tonight. We do thank you for coming out tonight in the very warm, close weather. We are very thankful for it. We're maybe not used to it. And it can be wearisome at times, but we do thank you for honouring the Lord and coming out to God's house tonight. We trust and pray that as we spend these closing moments in and around the Word of God, that the Lord really encourage your souls and speak to hearts, especially those not saved, and speak to them about their soul. Job chapter 16, verse number 15. I have sewed sackcloth upon my skin, and defiled my horn in the dust. My face is foul with weeping, and on my eyelids is a shadow of death. Not for any injustice in mine hands, also my prayer is pure. O earth, cover not thou my blood, let my cry have no place. And now behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. My friends scorn me, but mine eye poureth out tears unto God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleadeth for his neighbour. When a few years are come, then I shall go the way whence I shall not return. Amen. Heavenly Father, write these words upon our heart. We pray, Lord, you'll give us understanding, insight, but Lord, most of all, give us thy voice tonight. May we sit at the feet of Jesus and be taught. May we learn, and O God, may souls be reached. I pray you'll empty me of self and sin, fill me with thy spirit. Lord, in the midst of the heat of this place tonight, we pray you'll give us concentration and a real awareness of thy presence. And O Lord, bring sinners unto thyself. For in Jesus' name we pray these things for his glory. Amen and amen. In Job chapter 15, Job's friends have been criticizing him and accusing him of being wicked. And as a result of his wickedness, he has faced the difficult circumstances that he is suffering. He's lost his family. He's lost his fortune. He's lost his animals. He's lost his health. But praise God, he hasn't lost his faith. Oh, there are times whenever we read of his communications before man and with God, and he has questions. He does not see the way clearly. But in the midst of it all, he still holds to his God and to his Saviour. It's interesting that in chapter 15, verse number 7, we read of some of the accusations that Job's friends make toward him. Look what it says in verse number 7 of chapter 15. Art thou the first man that was born? Or wast thou made before the hills? Hast thou heard the secret of God, and dost thou restrain wisdom to thyself? What knowest thou that we know not? What understandest thou which is not in us? In other words, Job has been saying, I'm trusting in God, and the Lord knows all about it, and the Lord will bring me through. And they're saying, hey, are you the first person born? Are you the oldest person to live in this world? Do you have the knowledge of God that we don't have? How do you know what's going on? How do you know what God's plan is? And yet the irony is, neither do they. They don't know what God's plans are. Yet they make accusation. Oh, it's because of your wickedness, God's judgment's upon you. Now we know from revelation of scripture that God declares Job to be a righteous man, a just man before him. He is a Christian. He is trusting in the Saviour provided by heaven. And he is depending upon the finished work of Calvary. Yes, he's looking forward to it. But his faith and his trust is in his Saviour and in his Redeemer. And Job replies to his friends in chapter 16. And let's see what he says there. Verse number 1. Then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye all. Shall thee and our empty words have an end? Or what emboldeneth thee that thou answer? Miserable comforters are ye all. Have you ever felt like saying that to someone? You're some comforter. You're a miserable comforter. It's better you wouldn't have come and spoken to me at all, for I'm in a worse state than I was before you came to comfort me. Well, sometimes people can be like that. Their opinions and their thoughts, and by the time they're finished, you're more discouraged than you were before they came through the door. And he's honest and he says, this is no help to me. How long is this nonsense going to go on? How long are you going to speak these empty words and these foolish words? He says in verse 4, I could also speak as ye do. If your soul were in my soul's stead or my soul's place, I could heap up words against you and shake mine head at you, but I would strengthen you with my mouth. And with the moving of my lips would assuage your grief. And that word assuage means to retain or to spare or to withhold. And what Job is saying, I could do what you're doing. I can make judgments upon people and discourage them with my mouth. But you know, if you were in my place, what I would do? I would try and encourage you. I would try and strengthen you. What great advice. What great advice. How we need to be encouraged in these days. Oh, may we take as God's people those words of verse 5. I would strengthen you with my mouth. There are many people today, a friend, they're discouraged. There are many people and they feel as if they're just about making it. There's many people today and they feel as if they can't go on. And what they need is not the critical attitude and hard heart of God's people. They need to be strengthened by our words and encouraged and built up. Many people are going through trials. Many people are burdened today. Many people are hurting today. Many people, if we only knew their heart, it took every ounce of strength and determination they could to get changed and come to God's house tonight because their heart is so heavy. And friend, only God can look at the heart. Only God truly knows what someone is going through. And therefore, we ought to be tender-hearted and kind to one another, as God's word tells us to be to God's people, not to tear one another down. Let's not do that. Friend, let's not tear stripes off each other because we don't measure up to each other's standard. Let's encourage each other in the Lord. Yes, sin is to be dealt with in the camp. And friend, if there's sin in the camp, then it's dealt with and then it's forgiven. And there's not one of us in this meeting, but we'll backslide or we'll fall. Not one of us, but will feel the Lord. And therefore, remember, whenever a backslider is restored, whenever someone who's failed comes back to fellowship among God's people, we receive them, we encourage them, we seek to equip them and strengthen them in their walk with God, not roll the eyes and tut-tut and shake the head, but what has done and what God has put under the blood. It ought not to be that a Christian finds more encouragement in the world and in the church. Now, of course, the world will not encourage them in their faith, but certainly, in general, they ought not to find a better encouragement or a more tender heart in the world than they do in the church. And therefore, that starts with me, and that starts with you. Every single one of us. We need to pray that God will deal with our heart to make them more like the Saviour. Job's in great difficulty here. Make no mistake about it. If you take time tonight to read through the words of Job chapter 16, you will find a man who is broken. He's broken in body. In many ways, he's broken in spirit. He's broken because of the circumstances. He even longs for people to pray for him. Verse number 21, oh, that one might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbour, that someone would pray for him. You ever felt like that? But he hasn't lost his faith. Oh no, he's still trusting in God. He doesn't fully understand what's happening to him at this time. But his confidence in his Saviour that he is carrying him through. He's lost everything. Even the very support of his friends. But he cries unto God. And that's what he says. My eyes, verse 20, my friends scorn me. But mine eye poureth out tears unto God. There's a lovely song that says, tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your tears and hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man and takes him by the hand. Tears are a language God understands. Tears are prayers. Because he doesn't say here that he prays, but he cries before God, and the Lord knows what's behind every one of those tears. He knows his servant is brokenhearted. He knows his child is in pain because of his great loss. But his difficulties, trials, losses and hardships do not drive him from God. And friend, that's so important. These things do not drive him from God, but they cause him to turn to God. And whenever difficulties and trials come, and they will come in our lives, whenever hardship comes, and whenever the way turns in a direction that we personally don't want, friend, do not blame or accuse God or make accusation against the goodness or the graciousness of God, but flee to Christ. Because the path that he allows you to walk, he's walked before you. And he will give you the grace to walk through it. Whether it's through the fire, whether it's through the flood, he will be there holding your hand, strengthening you. There's no doubt that the book of Job is a lesson on how the Christian ought to suffer. And in his suffering, time and time again, Job reaffirms his confidence in the Lord. I just want to show you a couple of verses, and then we'll come to our key verse tonight that we're going to think about for a few moments as we close. Turn to Job chapter 13 and verse number 15. Remember, this man's lost everything. He's lost everything, and here's what he says. Job 13 verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. But I will maintain my way before him. He also shall be my salvation, for an hypocrite shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Turn over to chapter 19 and verse number 25. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Turn to chapter 23 and verse number 8. Job chapter 23 and verse number 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. And he's saying he can't see God in the midst of this. He can't find the hand of God in the circumstances, on the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him, but he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Turn to Job chapter 28. Just two more verses I want to lay before you. Job 28 and verse 28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. And he's telling his friends, look, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's understanding. And then finally, if you turn to Job 42, very end, and at this stage, Job has received more of the Lord at his latter end than he did at the beginning. And he says these things in verse number 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Turn back with me to Job chapter 16. We've thought of verses tonight which have reaffirmed Job's faith, and where he has declared his faith in the Lord God of Scripture. While there were real sufferings to endure and pain to experience, Job looks to the Lord for strength and rests in his wisdom. There were times in Scripture when Job desired to die. He actually prayed that the Lord would take his life because he felt it wasn't worth living. It was too hard. And yet he left the matter with the Lord and rest in the providence of God. Let me ask you a question. Where's your confidence today? What are you resting upon today in life, through life's storm what is your anchor? When you think of death and eternity, what is your hope? What assurance do you have tonight you're walking on the right path, the path that leads to heaven, the path that leads to eternal peace? What's your confidence tonight to put your head upon the pillow and say, it is well? Well, I want to look at Job's confidence tonight. A friend, if you're not saved, my prayer is that you will have the confidence that Job had because you have the Saviour that Job had. The verse that I want to leave before you, my text tonight, is verse number 19. And now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. And now, behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. This is a wonderful verse. A verse I'm sure we've all read over and never thought about. But I was reading a little booklet this week, and this verse was highlighted. And the Lord just really wrote it upon my heart. Let's think of the three thoughts in this particular verse. First of all, the confidence of the Christian. And now, behold. Behold. That's the confidence of the Christian. The word to behold means that the believer, or Job in this instance, is looking toward something. He is pointing his friends around him who are making foolish allegations and foolish accusations. He's pointing them to look towards something. He doesn't say, behold, look at me. But he's saying, behold, look away to where my hope and where my confidence and where my assurance is. Now, Job has experienced more difficulties and afflictions than we will ever endure. And his friends presumed that it was because he had done something wicked, and therefore God was punishing him. But his confidence is not in his circumstances. That's what his friends did. They looked at his circumstances and made a decision. But Job's confidence was not in his circumstances, in his health, for he lost that, in his family, for he lost that, or is in his possessions. His confidence was in the Lord. And when he said, behold, he points them to the Lord. We know that by the words he says, my witness and my record. And we're going to think about those in just a moment. And therefore, this little word, behold, speaking of the confidence of Job, teaches us three important truths. First of all, we can be sure of our salvation. We can be like Job and be able to say, behold, I know I'm saved. My confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul spoke to Timothy. We sang it a few moments ago. For I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. He was sure he was saved. Now, there are some wishy-washy preachers who would say, for someone to say, I'm sure I'm saved, is very arrogant. It's very presumptuous. Well, that's nonsense. For a Christian to say, I'm sure I'm saved, I know I'm saved, is biblical. It's biblical and scriptural. In fact, scripture calls men and women, boys and girls, to seek the Lord for salvation and to make sure you know you're saved. Deuteronomy 32, verse 29. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end, that they would be prepared for it. Amos chapter 4, verse 19. Prepare to meet thy God. I want to tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you can be sure you're saved. And you can know that you're saved. My prayer is that tonight that will be the case. Not only does that teach us that we can be sure of our salvation, we can also look forward to eternity with anticipation, not dread. There are people, you know, and if you mention death in their presence, they would clam up, they would change the subject, they would walk away, they would make a joke because they couldn't think about it. But I'll tell you, whenever the Christian sits down and read what God promises his children in heaven, and especially in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, where we have the seven no mores of heaven, and we read of God wiping away all tears from their eyes, the place where there's no sin or sickness or death or sorrow. When we think about heaven, what's there? When we think about the loved ones who have gone before, we think about our Saviour standing in all his beauty, ruling and reigning and all serving with perfect obedience. Friend, there's something in the heart of the believer as each day goes past longs more for heaven. It becomes home to us much more than this world does. And are there not times we look at the news, are there not times we stand and see what's going on around us in society? Are there not times we hear of things that have happened to our family and to our friends and they grieve our heart, and we just quietly say within us, praise God, this world is not my home. Praise God, this is not as good as it gets. But I go into a place where there's no sickness or death or sorrow or pain or sin. Not only that, but even facing death, the psalmist could say, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And friend, we know what the world looks to tonight. Their confidence is in money, it's in popularity, it's in being with the crowd. But I'll tell you, the confidence of the Christian is this: Christ is with me. That's all that matters. There are people tonight, they're watching in different parts of this world. We know there are people watching Australia. There's people watching Uganda. There's people watching Canada and the United States and different places. And praise God, we all have this testimony. Wherever we are in this world, if we're saved, He is with me. And I have nothing to fear. And we're reminded that we cannot look to ourselves for hope or confidence regarding our soul. Job never looked to himself. He looked around at the circumstances and he was confused, but he looked to the Lord, and praise God, he was sustained. No true Christian will say, look at me, look at what I've done. The true Christian will say, look what the Lord has done for me. There's a lovely hymn in our hymn book that says, not what these hands have done can save my guilty soul, not what my toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. We've seen the confidence of the Christian in the word behold. But secondly, we see the witness of the Christian, because he says, and now behold, my witness is in heaven. Now the word witness means an eyewitness, one who can recount what exactly has happened before their eyes. Now Job's friends looked with their eyes and they accused him of wickedness resulting in his difficulties. But Job is able to stand before them and say, my witness, the one who knows truly who I am and what I am, is in heaven. And what great assurance this gives him. He refers to the Lord as his witness. He also, as we know, has referred to him as his Redeemer. And therefore, he looks to Christ as his Savior and as the one who will bear witness for him when he has to stand before God. Now, when we think of this witness in heaven, we have to say that our witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, has not always been in heaven. Oh yes, he's eternal. He has no beginning and no end. But there was a period of 33 years, 2,000 years ago, when that witness was not in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and took upon him flesh. And as he walked upon the face of this earth, he experienced the things that we experience. He went through the sorrows that we go through. He knew what it was to have joy and pain, suffering and temptation. He knew what it was to be rejected and misunderstood. He went the whole way to Calvary as a God-man to die on the cross for sinners. Our perfect Savior, the sinless man, died in the place of sinners. He died for the sinner. He was punished as a sinner because he took the guilt of our sin and bore the wrath of God against that sin. And praise God, today he rose again, and every Christian has a witness in heaven. Every Christian has this witness, not only one who has died for them, not only one who prays for them, but one who will speak for them and on their behalf, an advocate who pleads for them, a shepherd who leads them, and on the day when we stand before God, one who will say, this is mine, mine, bought by my precious blood. This witness cannot feel. He cannot turn away from those whom he's purchased. The very character of God teaches us that. And the fact that he is a living Saviour proves that the work of our witness upon the cross of Calvary on our behalf was fully accepted. Sinners can come today to a living Saviour with full confidence. He's accomplished the work of redemption. They can come and by faith enter into a victorious work that saves them, that cleanses them, that transforms them, and praise God will keep them until they get to heaven. And friend, if you're not saved, that's what you need tonight. You need to be saved from your sin, cleansed from the guilt of that sin, transformed by the power of God, and kept by the hand of God. And that's exactly what Christ does. Each believer tonight can say, the only reason I'm here and still walking with my Lord is because he saved me, cleansed me, transformed me, and praise God, he keeps me. This witness, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the only one who is able to testify on the behalf of any man. He's the only one that can stand before God, because he is God. And he's the only one that can stand in the place of man, because he became man. He's the sinless, perfect one who can witness and testify for his people. He's the only one who can plead the cause of the sinner, because he took the punishment of the sinner. Your minister cannot testify for you. Your priest cannot witness for you. Your pastor cannot witness for you. They will not suffice. The only voice that's worth any merit, the only voice that's accepted before the judgment throne, will be the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And friend, he will speak to, for you in one of two ways. He will either speak for you as your Saviour. This one is mine, my child whom I saved. Or he'd speak against you as your judge. Depart from me. I never knew you. But friend, only Christ can. And only he will speak for you. My question tonight, if you were to die, is there one who's ready to speak for you? Is there one for you in heaven who is able to say, this one has turned to me from their sin. I washed him in my precious blood. And now they're welcome home. Our friend, would you open your eyes in the eternal damnation of hell without any hope of salvation, without any presence of God? We thought about the confidence of the Christian. We thought about the witness for the Christian. And then finally, we think here about the record of the Christian, because this verse says, my record is on high. The word record means record, a recording of the deeds or works of an individual. And the Bible makes it very clear that there is a record for each soul. We read about the great day of judgment when all are gathered before God. And the Bible says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, there are several books mentioned here, and it's a very interesting study whenever you write down and go down them and see what the different books are. But there's certainly a book which details the things that the sinner has done. Then there's a book which is called the Book of Life. And the Bible says in Revelation 20 verse 15, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And therefore on that day, friend, it's not a matter of you making some argument or presentation of who you are before God or trying to argue that you lived a good life. But rather, the books will be open and God's record of your life will be declared and you will give an account of it. Your words, your thoughts and your deeds will be judged by the Lord. We live in a land where there's an appalling lack of justice. People get off from deserved punishment because of technicality or dirty deeds done behind backs. We know that. It's sickening. It's deplorable. The country wonders why the crime rate's so high. Well, there's no proper justice or punishment for wrongdoing. But what escapes the courts here will not escape God's courtroom. My friend, we all will stand, the small and the great, the adults and the children will be there, the humble citizens will be there, and the kings, the queens and the presidents, none will be overlooked. And the only way they will be able to look to that day with confidence is to know that there is a record on high that bears witness of your salvation. And I believe that the record of the Christian in heaven, the book that records who we are, is a record of God's mercy in our salvation, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb, paid in full, saved, redeemed, purchased. But also there's a record of the believer's works. And we know that for the Christian, it's not a question of will he be in heaven or will he be in hell. We know that because saved by God's grace, we're saved eternally and we're sure of heaven. But there is a judgment for God's people. A judgment of their works. Judgment of their life, of the things that they've done, how they used what God has given to them. And the Bible tells us, and we'll look at this in further detail sometime in the future in the will of the Lord, that those things that were not genuine, those things that were done with a sinful attitude, those things that were done for self and for pride, those things will pass through the fire of God's judgment and they will burn up as wood and hay and stubble. But the things that were done genuinely for the Lord will be revealed and they will be rewarded. Things that maybe people think are insignificant. Maybe some dear woman can't get out to church anymore. Maybe some dear man can't get out to church anymore. But they take an hour every day and they pray for the work of God in this place. And they pray that souls will be saved. And they pray for the community. Friend, they will be rewarded. The child who puts the money into the wee box for the missionary, with an eye that it will go to help someone in some far off land. In the eyes of man, it doesn't seem very much, but I'll tell you, that will be rewarded. A cup of cold water given in my name, that shall be rewarded. The lift that was given to the individual to come to the place of worship because they couldn't get any other way, friend, that will be rewarded. That which was done with a pure heart in the power of God and for the glory of God, that will be rewarded. And therefore, as we are going toward eternity, for God's people, let's live for him. Let's do what we can. We will not have only leaves to offer him on that day, but there will be sheaves that we've helped to gather, jewels that we've helped to win. Then we're going to eternity. And the only way to face eternity with peace is to have the testimony that Job had. Behold, my witness is in heaven, and my record is on high. He had confidence because he had a Saviour who was going to bear witness for him, and a record that revealed he was saved. We sang tonight, precious, precious blood of Jesus, let it make you whole. Let it flow in mighty cleansing o'er thy soul. And tonight, if you want to have peace with God, friend, if you want to know forgiveness of sins, a cleansing from the guilt of sin, if you want to know with assurance that should you die this night that you would be in heaven, absent from the body, present with the Lord, then there's a Saviour who's ready and willing to save you. And if you say, Lord, I'm coming as a sinner. Lord, I'm asking you to save me and wash me in your precious blood. Then the precious, precious blood of Jesus will cleanse you and save you to the uttermost. And you'll be able to say, for I know whom I have believed. Oh, I'm persuaded he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Little poem I came across this week and I finish with it. What wondrous blessings overflow when we can truly say, I know. I know in whom I have believed. I know the one I have received. I know his blood avails for me. I know that I was blind, but now I see. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know the gift he freely gives. I know he'll keep me to the end. I know he's my unfailing friend. I know he's coming in the sky. I know that time is drawing nigh. Friend, there are many things in this world we have to say, I know not why, I know not how, I know not when, I know not what. But praise God for the Christian tonight, they can say, I know I'm saved. Can you say that tonight? You've come to God's house. You sat in the gospel meeting, you've heard Job's confidence in his darkest hour. That confidence wasn't in his circumstances, it wasn't in his bank account or anything like that. It was in Christ and Christ alone. And what about you? If you're not saved, I urge you, I beg you, I plead with you, come to Christ tonight. You do not know what a day may bring forth. Friend, none of us know, should we even see tomorrow morning? But you can know it is well with your soul. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads as we draw our time to a close. Maybe there's some dear individual and the Lord has been speaking to your heart. And you know that the witness in heaven will speak against you. You know the record books in heaven will testify against you. Friend, you need to be saved tonight. You know that you can do nothing to get rid of your sin, but there's a Savior who's done all that's necessary. And he asks you to come unto him. Oh, you've come to this church. A friend, I beg you, come to Christ. Just where you are, with your head bowed and your eyes closed, just within your heart, cry out, Lord, save me tonight. Lord, wash me in the precious blood that we've been singing about. Oh, Lord, erase the record of my sin and speak for me on that day when I'm called before the throne of God. My Bible tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Job has seen the Saviour. And praise God, the one whom he has seen is the one tonight who can save you. If you've asked the Lord to save you tonight, come, let me know after the meeting. I'll be outside just saying farewell to people. And we'd love to just give you a little booklet that would help you in your walk with God. Maybe you've come back to the Lord tonight. Maybe you want to ask something more about being a Christian. Well, I'm here and God's servant for your sake. If I can do anything, please ask. I'll point you to the Savior. Heavenly Father, we realize that in a meeting such as this, and we've been reminded in our message tonight, none of us know with God's knowledge how others stand or what they're going through. Lord, I stand tonight in this pulpit and having looked across this congregation, I cannot tell from an outward appearance who is saved or who's not. But Lord, if thou art dealing with hearts tonight, and we pray that you are, we pray you'll bring sinners through for thyself. Lord, what has been of man, let it perish and fall to the ground. What has been of thee, let it prosper. Lord, surely it's time for thee to move. Surely there's some dear sinner and they've been in such conflict and turmoil because of their past and because of the future and because of death and eternity that they've had no peace. Lord, grant them peace tonight, we pray, through the blood that was shed in Calvary. Oh, Lord, save that man, save that woman, save that boy, save that girl. Lord, thou knowest tonight the need. Give them courage to speak to the pastor or to some friend about their soul. Lord, I pray that you will save them for time and for eternity tonight. Lord, maybe someone watching on the internet at home, maybe in some distant land, and Lord, we've never met them, speak to their heart tonight and bring them onto thyself. Oh, Lord, continue to build thy church. Save, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. For his eternal glory. Amen and amen.